Okay, so today we are continuing with our series on seven strange things which Jesus did. And this seems quite a strange story, especially when we think of the history and the culture of the day. So first of all, what was strange about this encounter? Well, let's just paint a little bit of background first of all. As we know, there was a long history between the Jews and the Samaritans. There was hatred, and it all stemmed back in 722 when the Assyrians conquered Israel, taking the Jewish people captive, taking them out, removing them from their home country. Now, a remnant had returned, and this remnant of Jewish people intermarried with the Assyrians. And so they were taken as the Assyrians' wives, and so children were born. And to the Jews, these children were known as half-breeds because the Assyrians were a pagan people. They hated God, and they weren't very nice at all. And so we can see this long-standing history from this time. And that is why no Jew would go through Samaria. So it was very unusual, very strange that Jesus went through Samaria. And this was a very dark time in Israel's history. And so the Judean Jews and the Jews were neighbours. Okay? And because they hated each other so much, they wouldn't go through Samaria. So here we have a map. And we've got Judea here, and Jericho and Jerusalem, Samaria in the middle, and then we've got Galilee. So if a Jew was going on a journey, instead of going through Samaria, which would have been the shortest route, the quickest route, they would go all the way around, up and over the hills, and into Galilee that way, so that they wouldn't have to pass through Samaria and have any contact with these Samaritan people, because of the history there. Now, on foot, this journey would have taken about, straight through Samaria, about 14 and a half hours. It was about 70 miles away. But they were prepared to add on double that in terms of miles and time, just so they would avoid going through Samaria. So that is how, you know, much they didn't want to go through or have anything to do with these people. And so the first thing that was strange about this encounter was the fact that Jesus was prepared to bend the rules, as he knew there was a special purpose in his little pit stop in Samaria. And because Jesus places value on all people, he placed value not just on this Samaritan woman, but on the people of Samaria. And it's interesting that we see Jacob's well referenced here. And this story we find in John chapter 4, verses 1, and it goes through to about 28, okay? And it's quite a long story. There's quite a lot of dialogue between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And it's really interesting because we see Jacob's well referenced because of the heritage and the history of these people. Even though they were not, according to the Jews, pure Jew, they were still descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it was as if God was reaching out, finding his lost sheep, so to speak, and Jesus was prepared to risk scandal and to bend the rules of historical tradition to bring the message of the kingdom to a lost people. And I suppose for me, that's the underlying theme here, that God loves those who do not yet know him. And he has open arms, and he extends himself to those people because he loves them, and he loves us, and he wants us to come into relationship with him. No matter who we are, no matter what our history has been, no matter how much we've messed up, or whether we once knew God and now we've drifted away, God is there willing to restore, willing to forgive, and wanting to receive us into his family, and to restore for us the original purpose that he has for our lives. And so the other thing which is quite strange about this encounter is that this woman was a woman and Jesus was a man, but he was a Jewish man and she was a Samaritan woman. Now, it was really strange that this happened, that Jesus actually spoke to this lady. Not only was she a Samaritan, but because she was a woman, she was possibly a woman of perhaps a bit of a reputation, you know, and back then, the culture was so different. And when we read this story, it's like 2,000 years on, our culture and society is so different today. And so that is why I showed the clip, for you to just have a little glimpse of what the culture and the history and the traditions were like back then, and how they really honoured these customs, really. Now, thankfully, in many ways, our culture today is different, and things like this would be unheard of, that a Jewish man or a Jewish rabbi wouldn't even speak to his wife in public. It was considered a breach of social custom. Jewish men could only address a woman if their husbands were present. So if you can imagine a Wanda or Tammy having a cup of coffee in the blue room on a Sunday morning, and Matthew or Jez or Gary went on and had a little chat, they'd have to say, "Excuse me, where's Alan?" Or, "Where's Zeno?" "Right, Zeno, Alan, come stand by me." "Okay, now you can talk to me." It's like so far from our kind of culture, isn't it? But at this time, this was the custom. And so it was really strange that Jesus was talking to this woman, not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman, possibly of ill repute. Now, that is really radical, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, that Jesus was so radical to do this, to speak to a woman in public. And the other thing that was strange about this story, am I doing this right? Oh, where do I point? There we are. The other thing that was strange about this story is the time that this woman was actually at the well. And it says in verse 6 that it was about the sixth hour. And that would have been around noon, lunchtime, the hottest part of the day. And so women in this culture would have been out at the well really early in the morning to get their water supplies for the day. And then they would be home by sort of lunchtime. But this woman was at the well at the hottest part of the day. Now, when I go to Spain to visit my friend, who's been an old family friend for many years, we go to a little place just outside Barcelona called Malgrat. And we go into the town in the morning, and it's bustling with people, and the market is open, and everyone's chatting, doing their business, doing their banking, having a coffee, meeting their friends, doing their shopping. And gradually, towards the end of the morning, everything goes a bit quiet. And by lunchtime, by 1 o'clock, you do not see a soul on the streets in the old part, not the tourist area. All the shutters are shut on the homes, and all the shops are locked up by 1 o'clock. And in Spain, this is known as the siesta time, where people go home and relax and prepare a meal or watch TV or sleep, because it is the hottest part of the day and they are hiding from the sun. They are hiding from the heat, and that's all you can do is rest and be still during this time. And so it's really strange that this woman was out at the well at this time. And so what does this suggest to us? Well, it suggests that she was possibly avoiding people. Maybe she was shunned by her community. Maybe she was a woman with a bit of a reputation. We are not told much detail about her. We do not know her name, her age, her standing in society. But Jesus says to her, "Go and call your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "That is right. You've had five, and the man you now live with is not your husband." And so this is a man who is obviously, how does he know so much about my personal life? He has got her attention. And it's like, go, hang on, who are you? What are you trying to do here? And so we see that this woman had five marriages. Now, in those days, it wasn't unheard of, because as we know, men went to war, and if they were killed in the battle, then a Jewish woman or women in this culture would either marry another man, or if they didn't have the means of support around them, then they would perhaps become a beggar or even a prostitute, or another man's wife. And so we see this woman had been married five times, so we don't know why that was. And also, a man could divorce his wife if she wasn't pleasing to him. And so there are lots of reasons, perhaps, why this woman had been married five times. But living with a man who wasn't a husband, now that was an issue in those days especially. Especially in Jewish culture, it just didn't happen to any respectable woman. And now these days, it's all back to front, isn't it? Generally in society, a lot of people are choosing not to get married. They move in together, perhaps have a child, and they perhaps get married later on. But as we know, marriage is designed by God, and anything God designs is good. And as a church, we believe that it's best to be married before living with somebody and procreating. And that, as a church and as believers, is what we believe and what we practice. But in reality, in society today, we find people in all sorts of circumstances. These days, and just like Jesus, we can reach out lovingly and non-judgmentally to communicate the fact that God is love is gracious and can forgive us, and we can do this to the people that we come to meet. And when people experience forgiveness and love and acceptance, they change and align their lives into the will and plans of God, because God's plans, as we know, are good and for our benefit, as well as those around us. I've seen so many people whose lives have changed for the better when they have come to a faith in Jesus. So the message of Jesus is for every person, no matter what our race or religion, our social position, or our past or our current circumstances, or our family history. We can tell our story of who Jesus is and what he has done in us at any time, in any place, just like Jesus crossed the barriers here to share his message of hope to this woman at the well in Samaria. We too can reach out with a message of hope and healing and eternal life through Jesus. And so what did Jesus mean by living water? Now, in the Old Testament, many verses speak of thirsting after God. No, like as one thirsts for water. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Like really thirsty? There is nothing like that thirst quenching satisfaction is there when it's been a really warm day and you've been perspiring and you're feeling really dehydrated, or you've eaten a bacon sandwich and it's left you really like with a salty taste in your mouth and it's like, oh, I just need water, 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 and you've been really, really thirsty. Now, the only time I've ever experienced thirst like that was when we were abroad and we were in Italy and it was very warm. It was July. I was expecting Sam, so I was craving pop, and I'm not a pop drinker usually. So we were on this little boat on an evening excursion over to Venice for a couple of hours, and all the shops had shut and we'd had a salty spaghetti bolognese in this little shop. And I was so thirsty. And we were on this boat. There was about 20 people on this boat. And I clocked this young lad who was steering the boat. And he had a can of Fanta Orange Pop underneath his steering wheel. And I can remember lying in the back of the boat, pregnant, sick, thirsty, feeling really dehydrated, saying to Adam, my husband, can you go and see if he'll give you that can? Because I'm really thirsty, I'm dehydrated, I'm not going to make it to the shore if I don't have that can of Fanta right now. So poor Adam went on to this guy and offered him €5 or €10. Can't remember. It was about 16 years ago, so €5 for a can of Fanta Orange was a lot of money at that time. But the guy did a deal, and this can of Fanta Orange, I can remember it now, was the most like satisfying, thirst-quenching pop I'd ever had in my entire life. And it left such a mark, I remember it now. And we can all relate to stories when we've been so, so thirsty, and just that replenishment of water or a nice cup of tea or a nice lolly or whatever it is just brings a thirst-quenching satisfaction to our physical being. Now, God is called the fountain of life. And in Psalm 36, verse 9, it talks about him being the fountain of life. I'll just read that to you. You are the giver of life. Your light lets us enjoy. You are like living water. And there are many verses that refer to God like a giver of life, a giver of life-giving water. So what does that mean? Well, as we know, there are many spiritual functions which parallel physical functions. As our bodies hunger and thirst, so do our souls, our inner man, the person that we are. But our souls need spiritual food and water. And we wouldn't dream of neglecting our bodies unnecessarily of food and water. But why do people deprive their souls? Now, this lady confused the two kinds of water. She mistakenly believed that if she received the water Jesus offered, she would not have to be back and forth to the well every day. And she thought he would just make her life easy. But as we know, that's not the case. Jesus didn't come to this earth to make our lives easy or to take away all of our challenges, but to change us on the inside and to empower us and equip us to deal with challenges and problems from God's perspective and with his guidance. And as it's come through so much this morning, we are never alone. God is with us. God fills us with his Holy Spirit and gives us strength to face life. And I've been a Christian for 31 years, and throughout life, as we know, trials and challenges come our way, but we can know the help and the presence of God in these times. And it makes us stronger, it makes us wiser, and it can enable us to empathise with people who may have to face similar situations or challenges in the future. So Jesus spoke of himself as living water that could quench thirst forever and give life everlasting. And in saying he would bring living water that could forever quench a person's thirst for God, Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. Only the Messiah could give this gift that satisfies the soul's desire. Now the Jews, as we know and saw from the clip, were waiting for the Messiah to come. They believed that when the Messiah came, he'd explain everything. So this woman knew her history. And can you imagine her thought processes at the prospect of this man who knows way too much about my personal life? Obviously, he's a prophet. But what if? What if this man I am standing here with is the Messiah of the world and he's talking to me? How amazing to think that Jesus, who addressed crowds and multitudes and thousands of people at a time, was here in a Samaria where he shouldn't really have been, talking to this poor woman who was a Samaritan, who's possibly had a bit of a reputation, and yet he was there. It's amazing, isn't it, to think that in these verses, we see so much dialogue between Jesus and this woman. And in some ways, it's like there's more dialogue in this story than when Jesus was like up with Elijah and Moses on the mount. And you think, gosh, how important was this woman to Jesus? How important is the one? And I love this story because that is what it communicates to me, that Jesus loves that one person. He went through Samaria to that pit stop to meet a woman. And in our lives, there is that one person in our office, in our classroom, in our street, in our family. And they're just ready to hear the message of Jesus, that he loves them, that he has a plan and a purpose for their lives, and that he can bring forgiveness and purpose into their lives, that he has water that can quench their soul's thirst. Because as we know, people are searching in all different places to be satisfied and fulfilled in their lives. And you know, these things, as Jesus said, are temporary. They only quench your thirst temporarily. And we can all relate to things like that. Stuff people fill their lives with. Relationships people fill their lives with. Money, success, whatever. These are so temporal. And they always be left looking for the next buzz, the next thing, the next project, the next high, which will only quench them for a short time. And as Jesus said, this water will make you thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Now this woman saw Jesus first as a Jew, a poor, weary traveller, and then realised he was the Messiah of the world talking to her. Wow. That is such a powerful lesson for us in our sort of talking about our story to people that we know, or our evangelism or witnessing or whatever we want to call it, about our faith in Jesus to our friends and contacts. How the one is really important and matters to God. So we're going to do something really practical now. If you're comfortable with this, great. If you're not, don't worry, just sit there and that's fine. For those of you who are not already on your phone, obviously taking notes, get your phones out of your bags or your pockets and go to your list of contacts or your people or your friends. And we're just going to close our eyes for a couple of moments. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit, for those of us, you know, love God and, you know, are passionate about seeing the people we love come to know him too. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us one person this week that we could have a conversation with, offer to pray for, get alongside, that would make a difference in their lives. And just close your eyes, skim through your contacts, or your Facebook friends if it's at hand. Just say, Lord, who would you want me to speak to this week? Who's that one person in my sphere of influence this week that I can talk to about you or offer to pray for? Okay. Great. John 7:38 says, "If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from that person's heart, as the scripture says." Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later, those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. And this talks about God's many blessings, his amazing blessing of eternal life, and the amazing relationship that we can have through his Holy Spirit, which is still available today when we accept his invitation to drink this spiritual life-giving water. One commentator said something about like drinking and thirsting. He said, "Whatever waters of comfort we drink of, we shall thirst again. Yesterday's meat and drink will not do today's work." I thought that was quite interesting. Okay, so to sum up this amazing story in Samaria, Jesus went out of his way to reach a lonely soul. And let's be on the lookout too to do the same. Jesus is the only one who can quench people's thirst for spiritual fulfillment, peace and purpose. And let's be on our lookout for those people that we know in our lives really need to hear this. And the Holy Spirit is here to equip us in today's life's challenges. We're not alone, as it's come through so much today. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and just feel alone. You don't feel God's presence. We just want to say to you, you know, God is with you. God loves you and accepts you. And you can be as far away from God as you feel, but God is there. Just like that shadow Jenny said, it'll never leave you. God will never leave you. He is available. He is gracious and amazing and is so powerful. And he's coming back. You know, he's coming back. This is real. He's coming back one day and we will be with him and meet him face to face. And so overall, the New Testament speaks favorably about the Samaritans. They received Jesus' ministry and were among the first to accept the gospel. And so, yes, this woman was just one person at the well, but as we saw from the clip, she went and she brought all the townspeople to Jesus. And it says he stayed there for 2 days and many believed. And that is amazing. Just because one person met Jesus, it had an impact on many. And we can all think of those people who communicated Jesus to us, I'm sure. You know, if it wasn't for that one person telling you the amazing message that Jesus can forgive us for the things we've done wrong, that he wants a relationship with us, that we can go to heaven and live forever with him and have him in our lives today helping us live for him. That is amazing, isn't it? If my Sunday school teacher at the age of 9 hadn't bothered to take the time to do that, we wouldn't be here. Our children wouldn't be here. There are people in heaven today who wouldn't be there because we have been able to communicate to a few people in our friends and family, you know, that God is real and they've come on that journey by themselves and found God for themselves. And it's amazing, just the power of one. So I want to really encourage you today, you know, that one is really important and it matters to God. Okay, why don't we pray? Jesus, you are so amazing that you just go out of your way because you love people. You love each and every one of us sitting here so much. And that your plan is for us to know you and to be in relationship with you and to share eternity with you. So God, I just pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh, where we feel lonely or we feel alone, that you would just come and revive us and give us a fresh passion and love for you. And for those who are perhaps here who are just hearing about you, or just thinking about you, or questioning things about life, that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord, in a powerful way, that they would know you are true and that they would know you are real. In Jesus' name, amen.